you have your Bible, turn to Genesis 15 with me this morning. The first book of Moses, Genesis 15. Verse number 12. It all starts in Genesis. That's what the word means in English especially. Genesis. The genesis of a thing is the beginning of it. Verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And that wound up being 175 years. Father, bless your holy word. Anoint the messenger this morning. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. In thy blessed name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. As I said, it all starts in Genesis. The book of Genesis. This is why the book of Genesis is one of the primary books that they assault. When you go off into some liberal Bible college, some of them teach that as many as 7 or 8 different people wrote the book of Genesis. And they call them J this and P that and so forth and so on. A bunch of garbage. There's no absolutely not one shred of evidence that anything like that ever existed. But the book of Genesis is inspired scriptures, the beginning. And you'll notice the Lord told Abram that his people would be afflicted, and they were, for 400 years. They were carried off into Egypt. Now, they didn't go off into slavery. You know the story. We'll get into all of that. How there was a famine. Joseph was there, gave them food. Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. But Egypt was not their home. They were made slaves in Egypt for 400 years. They lived there. In the last few years, they became slaves because a new Pharaoh arose who did not know Joseph or the people of Israel. They were slaves. Now, the reason they were slaves is because God wanted to prepare them to leave slavery. And they began to cry out unto the Lord. They cried for a deliverer. So they pulled a man out of the river. His name was called Moses. His name means drawn forth. And so God would use Moses to draw forth his people from Egypt. And he did. Moses' life can be separated into 3 distinct periods of 40 years. And it was that last 40 years that God used Moses to deliver his people from Egyptian bondage. They were delivered by the blood of the Lamb. Exodus chapter number 12, they established the Passover. The Passover is a type of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most important dates in all the Bible is the Passover. It cannot be overspoke. It is the date that everything else must answer to, the Passover. But if you notice what he says over here in the book of Genesis, I want you to hear this. In the book of Exodus, rather, verse number chapter number 4 and verse 21. And the Lord spake unto Moses, When thou goest to return to Egypt, see that thou do all wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And later on in the message this morning, I'm going to be bearing on that issue of a hardened heart. Why did God harden Pharaoh's heart? How did God harden Pharaoh's heart? The Lord separated Israel from Egypt with a wall of fire. Amen. You can't cross that wall of fire. And then he split the Red Sea and they crossed over on dry ground because of an east wind, a sirocco, a wind from the east, a hot, dry wind that dried up the floor of the Dead Sea. Word spread fast of this God that had delivered the Israel, these slaves out of 400 years of Egyptian life. Word spread fast all around the land about this God that was not one of their gods. And as I told Sunday school class this morning, it even got to the Philistines. And one of the Philistines preached one of the greatest messages in the Old Testament. Believe it or not, here's what a Philistine said in 1 Samuel chapter number number 6 and verse number 6. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts, as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts, when he wrought wonderfully among them? Did they not let the people go, and they departed? That's quite a thing coming from a Philistine. We've got preachers in this country that have never preached that much truth since they've been in the pulpit. My, my, my. And the word had spread, and they had believed it. And because this Philistine believed what he had heard, God delivered them. And my friend, I want you to understand something this morning. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Note carefully, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Remember that scripture that I just quoted to you. Word spread fast of the overthrow of Egypt. The enemy began to array themselves against Israel. Enemy came from every side, and Israel had to conquest. They had to enter into a conquest. In plainer words, they had to take what was rightfully theirs that God had given Abram in Genesis chapter number 15. And it is that story, that story of conquest that we read about in the book of Joshua. And it is in the book of Kings and Chronicles and Samuel and the Old Testament scriptures, how that Israel went off against their enemies, and God told them to destroy their enemy, man and woman and child. And there's an awful lot of criticism of the Old Testament and of Israel because God told them to do such a thing. And most people today think that it was only Israel's understanding of their tribal God that caused them to kill all these people, husbands and wives and children. But I want you to notice something when you read your Bible. He made a distinct difference between the pagans that were around the land and the pagans that were in the land. He said in Genesis chapter number 12, when Abraham went down into Canaan, the scripture says the Canaanite was then in the land. The Canaanite was a descendant of Ham, and cursed is Ham, cursed is his posterity. And so he went down into Canaan, and the Canaanite was then in the land. The Canaanite was one of the filthiest religions in all the Bible. The Canaanite was driven forth from the land because they were in the land of the children of Israel. Man, woman, and child were killed outside the land, not part of the promised land. There were pagans, and if they warred against Israel, here's what God said about it. He said, if they war against you, kill the men, but save the women and the children. That's quite a contrast between those who were in the land, who were usurping the land, who were taking what God had promised them. The Lord said, spare none. Spiritually, that has to do with a war that goes on inside your soul. Have you quit warring, dear friend? The day will never come in this world where the war ceases. We fight the good fight of faith. There is a battlefield, and we cannot slurk from it. We've got to fight that battle. Because the enemy wants a stronghold in the promise of God, in the land that God gave you, the thing that matters the most. He wants a stronghold in it. But I want you to notice something here. Is these people, they began to array themselves against the children of Israel. And you find that a Philistine believed what he had heard about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here's what God said about these people around the land. In Exodus 14, verse 17, he said, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. All hardened the heart of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh. In Joshua chapter number 11 and verse number 20, it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle. This is talking about the inhabitants of the land. It's talking about these people that were the Canaanites. He said, I'm going to harden your heart. He said, you're going to come against Israel. And when you come against Israel, I'm going to destroy you. This business of God hardening somebody's heart is very serious business.
I hope that I've said enough already to make you think about hardening your heart. The Scripture says in Hebrews chapter number 3 and verse 8, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. So there's something about this that you need to pay a special attention to today. In 1973, I had an encounter with God. In 1973, something happened inside me that's been there ever since. I want you to understand something this morning. The Christian life is not about a bunch of stuff going on in your head, and about a bunch of dedications and things that you've made to God. The Christian life is about a change that has taken place inside your soul. I woke up the next day and I knew that something was different in me. I've sensed that every day of my life. Since then I know there's something different in me. Do you understand what I'm saying? I believe this and I believe that. I study, I learn more and all this, and that's all great. But that hasn't changed what's inside me. I was changed. I was not the same anymore, and that change is permanent. There's nothing that's going to be able to change what happened to me. I was a different person. I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. So what does it mean to harden someone's heart? The hardening of the heart is a very important thing. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 20, here's what the Scripture says about the inhabitants of the land. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Now think about what I'm saying. The children of Israel were going to come into the land. They were going to take the land. They were going to drive out the enemy. They were going to annihilate everything there, because that was the land that God set aside where the truth of God would be established and Scripture would be written. It was on these one people that God said, Moses, write a book. And it was the descendants of Moses that the prophets came from. It was the priesthood of Israel that taught the truth of God. As I told you a moment ago, even though the Philistines, Rahab the harlot, and others about them had elements of the truth, and they did, and they followed the truth they had, God would have one place on this earth where He said, I put my name. And when He came into that land, He said, I want it cleansed. I want it pure. I don't want you mixing with their gods. I don't want you marrying into their families. I want you to be separate from them. Now, I've heard all kinds of people criticize what happened, and we're talking about 400 years ago. We're talking about a long time ago. And we're talking about a culture and an age that was entirely different from this one. So keep this in mind this morning. When God does something, He does it to that generation. He does it to those people at that time. We need things today, 2019. Oh yes! We certainly need a lot for us today. But I want to get back to what I'm talking to you about. He told them to leave these people alone. Don't marry these people. You say, preacher, why was that so important? Because of what I just read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I'll read it to you again. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. Now listen carefully. Here's what he said. He said, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. Now wait a minute, preacher. What does that matter? But it goes further than that. Look at the text carefully. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. In plainer words, if you get into idolatry, plenty around. If you get into the sacrifice of the devils, plenty around. You pick up the spirit of the devils, plenty around. You can't have it both ways. You either have the truth or you don't have the truth. You pick up that spirit. And by picking up that spirit, then your heart begins to harden because you have rejected the truth of the Word of God. I want you to look at something in Scripture here very carefully this morning. Turn to Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 9. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 9. These are great principles that will affect who you are and the way you live. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 9. Look carefully at what I'm going to read for you now. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven. He's our Father, right? He is, if God's your Father. John 8:44, if your Father's not the devil, then God's your Father. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If you're born again, you exalt his name and lift it up and revere his name. Note carefully, thy kingdom come. You break ties with this world and you live in this world and you occupy in this world, but this world is not my home. He said, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ told us how to pray. He's giving you the elements of prayer. He's giving you the foundation of what prayer is about and what this spiritual battle is about. We are in a battle. We are in a mortal battle. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So our mind is fixed on things above and not on things on the earth. Note carefully, give us this day our daily bread. We bow our head at the table and say, thank you, Lord, for the food that you spread before me. Thank you that I got up this morning and I breathe. Thank you that I could walk into this building and stand behind this pulpit and speak to you. I don't take that for granted. I don't take any of it for granted. I thank God for little things that I didn't think about a few years ago. I thank him, but let's move on. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Any soul that wants to walk with God wants sin cleansed. They want a right relationship with the Lord. Now look at verse 13. How many sermons have you ever heard preached on verse 13? Look at it. Look at it. And lead us not into temptation. You say, what in the world? That's an enigma, preacher. Would God lead us into temptation? What about that, preacher? Did not the Bible say that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh? Did it not say that he hardened the heart of the Egyptians? Did I not read in the scripture that he hardened the hearts of the enemy that came against Israel as they moved into the land? And here the Lord Jesus Christ tells us how to pray. How many of you have that caught off guard? Think about what you're reading. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, I want to know the truth. If you know the truth, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Exactly. That book that you hold in your hand right there, I want you to look at it for just a moment. You say, well, preacher, I've got a book here and it's got paper, it's got text printed on it, ink, and then it's bound up, and I've got a book. And I have a book, I believe the book. I read the book, and the book becomes a pattern and it becomes an instructor and a guide and an anchor for my soul. But that goes a lot deeper than that. You don't realize, I don't think, a lot of times that when you pick up this book and you start reading it, it reads you. And let me tell you why it reads you. It's alive. Well, it'd have to be anyway, wouldn't it? It's not the Word of God, God Himself. John chapter number 1, in the beginning is the Word. Word was with God. Word was God. Can God die? Well, then could His Word die? Could His Word fall to the ground? His Word is alive. The Word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing, now listen to this, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now we get into the heart. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of what? The heart. That's where either your heart is hardened and you're led astray, or your heart is softened and you get right with God. You come to the point where you say to the Lord, I don't hear it anymore. I don't believe it. Leave me alone. And God says, I'll leave you alone. God gave you a will. That will is a powerful thing. It's a sovereign will. It's your will. God will not violate your will. You will choose you this day whom you will serve. You will choose if you believe His Word or not believe His Word. Listen, His Word will lead you into life. But you have to believe it. You have to accept Him at His Word. This is why we have in this country so many scholars. They know Hebrew, they know Greek, they know Aramaic, they know all of that, they know Syriac, they know all the languages that are affected in the Bible. They know all of the history of the Scripture. They know everything about the contemporary world of all the time. Yet they don't know the One who wrote the book. Hardened hearts. Notice carefully. Lead us not into temptation. Do you want to know the truth? Do you think the Baptist will get you to heaven? Do you really think the Baptist? What about the Baptists down here that are affirming and fellowship? How many of you heard that term lately? Affirming. This is an affirming and welcoming congregation. You know what that means? That means that you might as well put a rainbow flag out in front of it. That means that we affirm. In other words, we agree with your sexuality, and now we welcome you into our communion, and you can become part of us. Do you realize that Baptists do that? Before we get to where we're blasting everybody else's religion, we need to take a good, long, hard look at ourselves. Amen. If the salt has lost its savor, then what good is it? If we don't have a light in here, what's the light, preacher? The light shines through the darkness. And it guides us in the truth as the truth moves on. Where does a man go today to get to the truth? Do they go to the federal government? Ha, don't make me laugh. Do they go to CBS, NBC, and ABC? No, not a chance. Do they go to the major colleges, universities, and the country's professors? No, don't bother me with it. Where do they go? Well, they go to their church, yeah? What do they get there? What do they get? Please understand me. The Scripture is made in such a way that if you want the truth, you'll get the truth. It judges your heart. The reason some of you don't have it is because you don't want it. It doesn't go. I remember one time I asked my first cousin. I said, "How come that you're not living the way that you were raised up?" He said, "Because I didn't." He said, "Because I chose to live a different way." At least he was honest. I appreciate his honesty. Then he went back to Oregon because that's where he lived at the time. I don't think he's alive today. But he made a simple statement. He said, "I chose to live a different way from what the Bible said." Now that's a choice you make. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And as a discerner, listen to me, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So in the Word of God, and you're reading the Word of God, and you start feeling funny about it because it's reading your thoughts. And it's discerning your heart. You may not know what's in your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it, he said. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. That's what he said in his Word. The Bible said the heart is deceitful. It's deceitful above all things. This is why when you get into religion, you can get into stuff that makes you feel good. You can believe all. I mean, listen, folks, we put a catechism up here. We can make us a beautiful catechism. I believe this, I believe that, I believe this, I believe that, I believe. Well, then, hallelujah to God, we're going to confirm you. And you're just as dead as you can be. Nothing's changed. Do you want to know the truth? The Bible will let you know whether you really want to know the truth or not. I can't do that, but the Bible can. The Bible will let you know if you're a fake. It'll let you know if it's fakery that you're approaching it with. You see, the Bible talks about people that sinned. You remember what Pharaoh said? I have sinned. You remember that? You remember what Saul, the king, said? I have sinned. You remember that? And in both cases, nothing changed about them. What bothered them was their circumstances. I watched a young man yesterday on YouTube, and he was given something like 42 years in prison. He was a teenager. He was given 42 years in prison for murdering his mother. They never found out a motive. They never did figure out why'd you murder your mother. He murdered his mother. He sat in the courtroom, stoic. Nothing, no emotion on his face.
until they gave him the 42 years. Then he broke down in tears. Do you know who he is? He's Cain. You know what Cain said? My punishment is greater than I can bear. Do you know what Cain should have been doing? He should have been out somewhere in the woods crying out to God and saying, Lord, I got blood on my hand. I murdered my brother. No! All Cain ever cared about was Cain. And the only reason this boy was crying is because he had to go to prison. He didn't care anything about his mother. That never brought any tears to his eyes. Because he's got a hard heart. A hard heart. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. And is a discerner. You know what the word discern means? It means the Bible, it means that you can tell the difference between real and fake. Real and fake. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, that's why you won't read it. You won't read it because it's reading you. And sometimes it gets very uncomfortable. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, through the Word, will point out your hypocrisy, your unbelief. I marvel at preachers. I mean, I'm a preacher. We know each other. I marvel at them. They'll get up in the pulpit and they'll kick and stomp and snort and carry on and tell you what to do. But when it comes to them, they won't live it. East Tennessee's bad for that. They say you can shake a tree around here and 50 preachers will jump out of it. When they're pastoring a church, they're the greatest preacher and the pastor in the world. When they're pastoring, they're wonderful. But then if they're not pastoring a church, you can't get them to come. How many's ever seen one like that? What they ought to do is pick up the Bible. Read the Bible. Say, Lord, you want to get right with God this morning? I can't do it for you, but this will do it. Pick up the Bible and say a simple prayer. Lord, you show me from your word what kind of shape my heart's in. And show me where I need help. Because you can't straighten yourself up. That's trying to pull yourself up with your own bootstraps, establish your own righteousness. There's only one righteousness. It's the Lord Jesus. So now, Lord, show me from this holy book what my heart's condition is. And then when you show me, help me do what has to be done to get it right. Make yourself completely dependent upon God, folks. Let me tell you, you can run down here till you wear this carpet out and pray till your face, till you're dry and dehydrated, and you'll never get right with God until you let Him really speak to your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So, preacher, how does God harden the heart? How does He harden it? Well, I'll tell you one way it can be hardened. And that is when I read that Bible, I don't get anything from it anymore. It no longer speaks to me. If that's you today, I'd be scared to death. So a Christian have a hard heart? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd be scared to death if I can no longer pick up a Bible and it no longer speaks to me. Now, folks, it may speak to you good and it may speak to you bad, but it doesn't make any difference. It's speaking to you. And as long as it's talking to you, thank God. Hallelujah. As long as it's talking to you. Thy name I pray, Lord. I've delivered my soul. I pray for all the folks in here. Love all of them. Want to see them helped just like I need to be helped. We all come to the same fountain. Hallelujah. We all eat the same bread. We all come to the same cross. We all must come under the same blood. There's no big shots and little shots. There's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I pray in Jesus' holy name, if somebody this morning has had that Bible speak to them, they ought to be shouting. They ought to be praising God. For you're talking to them. And you want to do something in their life. In thy holy name I pray. Amen. Let's stand up this morning.